Coach, I hope you're doing well. It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm doing very, very well, and what a great media 4 days that is had over in Birmingham, and it's made available now where you can watch every bit of it, so it's a lot of excitement as everybody is into the talking season. I think Steve Spurrier called it that. And I think that's what we got going right now.
Well, Coach, can I go back and sort of start about 1964 and work us through 88? Because you saw that progression with media coverage. How did they get the message out about teams back in the early part of your career and then later in your career?
Yeah, well, it started out, it was individually. You got to know every sports editor of every major newspaper. For instance, the Tom Seiler, the Knoxville paper, or Freddie Russell from the Nashville paper, Furman Bisher, or Jesse Adler from the Atlanta paper, and Benny Marshall from Birmingham. They would come on their own personal tours and go all over the conference day by day and watch practice and have dinner with a coach that night. You got to know them pretty well, and then they would write their story about the school and then make their predictions. Then we moved from that to where it started to grow, where they had the Sky Riders, where the conference would rent an airplane, old Martin 404, and have about 40 people that would fly from one school to the next. And then in the latter part of my career, then they finally moved to Birmingham with what we have today. So I'd have to admit that it's probably three times of what it was when we started out in Birmingham. I thought I read where there were 1,200 that was registered of the media. So it's been quite an evolution, but you, in those early days, one of the great part about it, you really got to know the sports writers, and the sports writers really got to know the coaches in those earlier days because it was more personal.
We're talking with Hall of Fame football coach Vince Dooley. He grew up in Mobile, Alabama, was able to attend Auburn University where he was the quarterback, went on to coach at Georgia. He compiled a record of 201, 77, and 10. He won six Southeastern Conference titles and a 1980 national championship. I go back and I want to talk about your career and then also tie you to the current situation in college football. But, Coach, I go back to those 201 wins. The big ones, the big successful seasons. What is the biggest difference between a successful season and a not successful season?
A game of inches. Being able to have one play that can make a difference between winning a national championship and not. It certainly happened to Georgia 2 years ago on the 5-yard line in Atlanta against Alabama. In our ball game, we had one big play against Florida, a Buck Blue to Lindsey Scott that probably made the difference. And you could go back to almost every national championship and you could point to one or two plays that really went your way. And maybe you could say luck was involved. Good fortune for sure. But nevertheless, that was the difference. And that's the way it is now. It's such a thin line between winning a big football game that can make the difference in a whole season, and we're talking about, of course, a national championship.
I look back at the six conference championships that you won in the national title. Looking back at those special teams, did they have something that the others didn't have as far as team chemistry, team unity? Was there something different about those conference champion winners as well as the national championship team in 1980?
Well, I think most all of the championship teams have all of those intangible qualities. They have good football players to start with, and then they have certainly team unity, and they're in good condition, they're tough-minded, and all of those things. But there are probably two or three or four teams that are like that right down to the wire. But then again, when you have a game that makes the difference in the big game between being the champion and not being the champion, it's those one or two plays that I was talking about that could make a huge difference in the final analysis.
Is it fair to put Auburn in that category from 2013? I don't know if you want to say luck or just at the right place at the right time. They were able to beat the Dogs and beat the Crimson Tide and some other teams just by the...
Yeah, well, That's a classic example, though I think they may have taken it to the extreme when you'd have two big plays and two big games like that. But it's a classic example, which is what has got to happen. As great as Auburn was, and they certainly were great last year and what they were able to do, but it took those one or two plays that really made the difference that got them into the championship game, and that they came so close to winning the national championship. Perhaps if they had it to do over again, they wouldn't score quite so fast at the end and not leave enough time on the clock for Florida State to come down the field. But there again is a classic example of what we're talking about one or two plays making a difference.
Coach, I don't mean to sound ignorant with this question. I was born in 1978, so obviously when I read about Coach Vince Dooley and the Hall of Fame career that you were able to obtain there at the University of Georgia from 1964 to 1988, I'm really basing on what other people have written and told me about Vince Dooley. I go back to understand your philosophy as far as winning football games was what?
Well, I think it wouldn't be much different than a lot of philosophies today, though the game is much more sophisticated. But you've got to be a complete football team. You certainly got to be good, I think, in all phases of the game, offense, defense, throwing the ball, running the ball, a great balance, and also a great kicking game. And you've got to have the intangible qualities in order to be a winner. In this day and time, there's no question that the passing game is much more sophisticated. You've got an incredible number of receivers like there's never been. But the defense is also more sophisticated than it's ever been. But nevertheless, same old philosophy. You've got a team that plays together, fights for 60 minutes, that's well-balanced, and then you throw in those one or two plays that can make a difference, and you've got a champion.
Coach, would there be a different technique that you would use now in trying to slow down some of these teams, especially the quarterback read and the option there, hurry-up style? Would there be a different philosophy that you would try to slow down those teams? Because I'm not really sure if that was common back in your coaching days.
No, we didn't have the hurry-up offense, but we did have a lot of changes in offenses over the years, and the history has always been that a new offense comes in on a variation of an old offense that sets the college football afire for about 3 or 4 years, and eventually the defense will catch up with it, and then the history repeats itself because then again another offense or a variation thereof comes into play, and I think that's what we have now. We've got something that's really good. It's exciting, and those that run it have done a terrific job. But it has caused some concerns, and defenses are still trying to somehow slow it down. They haven't done that yet, but I think eventually they will find a way to do it.
Right now, the legendary Coach Vince Dooley, inside the game, Hall of Fame inductee, as far as inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, that will be moving to the Atlanta area and be able to embrace a lot of the Southern tradition that maybe was not as accepted there in South Bend, and a lot of folks were not able to go and see that because it was so far away. But logistical side will be in Atlanta. You'll be able to see a lot of those Georgia players, Alabama players, Southeastern Conference players, and a guy by the name of Vince Dooley, who grew up in Mobile, Alabama, played at Auburn, and went on to have a championship Hall of Fame type career there at the University of Georgia. When did you realize that Herschel Walker was so special?
Well, I knew he was special early on. I knew he was going to be a great player, but I didn't know how fast he was going to be a great player. But I certainly was going to give him an opportunity to. And even though he didn't start the ball game his freshman year, by halftime he was the starter because he earned the right to be the starter. But it was surprising me that he was that good that early. I knew he was going to really be great. And speaking of that Hall of Fame, I took a tour of the Hall of Fame yesterday,
wow,
as a matter of fact. And it's going to be something. You're talking about technology. It's just absolutely amazing. But I think what's also going to be good is that it's going to have great sustainability because it's right next to the World Congress Center, and all of these conventions that are held, they can have events into the Hall of Fame. Can you imagine a group coming in and then have one night where they'll have a reception, a cocktail party, or a dinner into the Hall of Fame? So I think it's going to be great. It's finally found the right home in the Deep South, and Atlanta's an ideal place because of all of the connections travel-wise. So it's really something, and it's going to be open in about a month.
Well, we're looking forward to it because Alabama will open up the season there in West Virginia, and I know it's going to be a part to go in through and to look at those legends of college football there at the Hall of Fame in Atlanta. And, Coach, I go back to Herschel Walker for just a couple of seconds. Do you have to manage the great ones different than you do, not saying the average player, because it's hard to say college football players are average because they've excelled at their area so much, but do you have to manage the great ones any different?
Well, it depends on the great ones because they're all different in their personalities. Herschel Walker was probably the easiest player that I had ever had to manage. I mean, he was an ideal player from that standpoint. He was all about pleasing his teammates. He was all about pleasing his coaching staff. He was just ideal from the standpoint of a super player that was an incredible example in all the areas outside of the game, both on the field and off the field. So he was ideal. I've had some others that were great players, but they were a little tougher to manage and quite challenging. But it just depends on the individual, and they all come in different packages and with different seeds, as you know.
Well, Herschel Walker is a great ambassador of the game. He's did some things here locally in Tuscaloosa just to help promote the game of college football, and I know he's been some events. So certainly the name Herschel Walker, when you start talking about the legends of SEC football, his name comes up quite a bit. You had a chance to coach against Coach Bryant six different times. What was it like to prepare for a Coach Bryant coach team?
Well, it was the toughest challenge, I really think, at least in my opinion right now. He's the best college football coach that's ever been. And there may be one that over the period of time that might end up being better, but it'd be hard for me to imagine. But he was, I think, the very best from that standpoint. His record certainly could point to that. But nevertheless, it was quite a challenge, but also an opportunity that you wanted to play. Anybody that's competitive, that wanted to compete against the best, and he definitely was the best.
Well, Coach, I've actually got a photo that we tweeted out a couple of minutes ago with you and Coach Bryant, and I think it was really, really a young photo of you, but having a chance to sort of understand that connection and growing up in this state, I know that was probably a lot of fun and having a chance to win national titles and conference championships. Coach, I really appreciate you helping me out here in Tuscaloosa. One of these days we're going to get you back on because your interest in gardening has also sort of intrigued me a little bit. I know that may not be a great topic for college football, but it's one that I've looked into, and obviously you're a professional gardener as well. So football.
It's my golf. Yeah, I don't play golf, so it's a lot of satisfaction in that. So yeah, I'm very proud of the fact that I was able to survive at Georgia as the football coach, but also proud of the fact that I was the athletic director for 25 years, and we had a pretty good overall athletic program.
Well, and you go back to your AD days, and I'm not trying to extend the conversation, but you hired Mark Richt. You did some pretty inventive things there at Georgia and was able to accomplish a lot. And Mark Richt, certainly one of the good guys in the business, one of my favorite coaches in the SEC.
Yeah.
Love his personality and love the way that he carries himself and represents the game of college football that you and I love so much.
I'm very proud of him. He was probably my last big decision that I made as athletic director before I, quote, retired.